Evening's message would be about healing the broken. Healing the broken. I think it's not on purpose. My wife laughed at me, but I think it's actually a short message tonight. But remember, I've said that before. And it just kind of is that a little bit. And healing the broken. Isaiah 61, verse 1. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that he might be glorified. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to teach on your healing power and the healing and the things that need fix and the things that are broken. And I pray tonight that you would help us to understand both that we can be healed and also that we can be used by you to help other people. And we just pray that you'd help us tonight to see your thoughts and to see your truth, Lord. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for these beautiful verses, Lord. They are tremendous and just perfect, Lord. Thank you for the beauty of them. Help us to revel in your word and to know tonight. May your spirit speak to us in a great way, in Jesus' name. Amen. It says that the Spirit of God is upon me for a reason. I wish that a lot of our Pentecostal and charismatic friends would listen to that. The Spirit of the Lord God is not upon me to feel good about myself, or to have a tingle, or to say, look, I'm filled with Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel and to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So he's given me this power of the Spirit. He's given me the Holy Spirit in Isaiah 61 to go and do these things. And it gives beautiful things that are able to be done. Preach good tidings unto the meek. And this, by the way, this is quoted in Luke chapter 4. And Jesus is quoting it. And Jesus says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Because he says, this is me. And then he began to go and preach the gospel and heal people and fix people and fix broken hearts and all the things he did. And there's a list of things. Anointing me to preach good tidings, soul winning. He hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted. Now, I want to fix the hearts that are broken. That's what, and Isaiah is talking here, of course, but it's Messiah who would fulfill that. To bind up broken hearts. That's what he wants us to do. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Boy, the Spirit of God is upon us to go really help people who are hurt. And that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build up old wastes, and they shall raise up former desolations, and so on. It's just God's Spirit is upon me to go do these things, to fix burdens, to heal up broken things, to help those that mourn, to tell those who are in captive and give them liberty. God's Spirit is upon me to heal those broken things. We are tools of the Holy Spirit to do God's work, and that's healing, and that's changing lives. Well, number one, I just want to say the first thing I just noticed in this passage, and what I want to focus on tonight, is sometimes things get broken, and they're parts of people. Bind up the brokenhearted, it says. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The first thing I want to say is sometimes our hearts get broken. Sometimes our hearts get broken. If you say my heart's never been broken, you're very young. And that's all. It's part of life. And your heart gets broken. Not necessarily, it can get broken because you do wrong and you're brokenhearted because you're sin, and that we'll read that. But sometimes your heart is broken because of the world you live in. People are mean. Bad things happen. Expectations get dashed. But God's will is to bind up the brokenhearted. And we see that. Let's turn to Psalms. We'll read a good amount of Psalms tonight. And just show you this in Psalm. I want to say sometimes you're brokenhearted because of how you are treated. Because of how you are treated. And your heart gets broken. And I want to say this. Don't necessarily think that, oh, my heart got broken. I must not be a good Christian. I must not be strong. Because if I was strong, my heart would never be broken. I'll prove to you biblically that's not true. You can be a very good Christian and your heart's broken, but you still love God and you still have the joy of the Lord and peace, but your heart is hurting and you're brokenhearted about something. And it happens many times because of how you get treated. Psalm 69 and verse 17. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Psalm 69. And verse 18, draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before me. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I think we all kind of know what that means, all those who've been through some things, what the heaviness he's talking about. And he says, reproach hath broken my heart. Reproach is mocking and hating and hurting, and people coming after you and looking down on you. And I look for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. But we talked about Job last week. Job was looking for someone to give him a kind word, and he found none. And your heart gets broken, not just because of the reproach of enemies, and not just because of how people treat you, but because when you look for someone to help you, many times there's times in life where you aren't meant to be helped by man. And you're hoping somebody will help you, and many times in your life, you might have 50 or 60 or 70 or 80% of the time, somebody comes in and they're helped you. Somebody's always there for you. There's that one friend or that one relative. But there are times when nobody can help you, and the ones who try to help you to make it worse, even though they mean well. Why? Because there's times when you need the Lord, and God just says, hey, you need to get low. You need to just be brokenhearted for a while. And he says, I look for comforters, but I could not find any, and my heart was broken. Reproach had broken my heart. And we see that. Let's look at Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Sometimes because of how people treat you, and we see that in this psalm and the one we just read and some others. Psalm 102. verse 2. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I cannot eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. He's very sad. Why? Verse 8, my enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. He says, I'm withering. My heart is broken because of how he's treated. Psalm 109. Psalm 109 and verse 20. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because of thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. We see, sometimes your heart gets wounded and broken, and it needs healing. It's wounded. It's a wound that needs treated. It's broken. But the Bible says to bind up, to put a Band-Aid on, to fix the brokenhearted, and to do those things. Because sometimes you get brokenhearted because of how you're treated. Sometimes because of a situation that's terrible. Let's go back to Jeremiah. Probably didn't keep your finger there, but Jeremiah. Just a little forward in your Bibles. Jeremiah 23. Sometimes you're brokenhearted because, well, you're brokenhearted because of the weight on you, because of situations. Sometimes you're brokenhearted, like Jeremiah is here, because you see the need and you see the broken lives and you see the sin and you see the state of things, and your heart gets broken and your heart will need bound up. Jeremiah 23, verse 9, Jeremiah talking, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places and wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Why is his heart broken? Because of this terrible situation they're in. And by the way, I think it's about time. At some point, Christians are going to get a broken heart for their nation. At some point. I can't believe it hasn't happened yet. I always thought that America would get low enough and all of a sudden Christians would fall on their face and weep before God and say, oh God, we got to have revival because that's what's always happened. But now we have a generation that cannot get broken heart enough. They do not want to feel bad enough, and they will just entertain themselves out of their broken heart and never have revival. But obviously, this is not wrong to have a broken heart because of what's going on. Hey, there's nothing wrong. It's normal to have a broken heart for somebody whose soul you care about. Jesus wept because he saw the sorrow at Lazarus' funeral. And Jesus had a broken heart. And people in the Bible have a broken heart. And God has a broken heart many times. And you ought to have a broken heart for souls and people. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because God can fix your heart. And that's part of being a Christian with a good heart, is a good heart can be broken. Hearts of stone, they don't get broken. God says, I'll take out your heart of stone. I'll put in you a heart of flesh, because he wants us to have hearts that are susceptible. Hearts that can love. Hearts that can care. Hearts that can weep with those who weep. Hearts that can be broken when somebody else is brokenhearted. That weeps when somebody else weeps. When somebody's hurting, they hurt. Our hearts can be broken for good things. And so that's okay. There's just hearts that need healed. Number one, sometimes a heart gets broken. Number two, sometimes a spirit gets broken. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18, start there. I've taught in the spirit of man. There's a spirit of God, and we're made in God's image, and we have a spirit also. And the Bible says the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. And the spirit of man is a combination of two things. It's a combination of your attitude. It's a combination of your strength, the inner strength you have. And a spirit of person says, we can do this. And a person whose spirit is broken says, we can't do it. I can't do any more. I can't go any farther. And that spirit inside of us that sustains our infirmity can get broken. And then our spirit is broken. And it's something that needs to be fixed. Proverbs chapter 15. And let's see. Verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Sometimes we see in the Bible where they had no more spirit in them when they saw something or were hit, faced the situation. Our spirits get wounded. You can see children who, when they're young and they're abused and mistreated and stuff, sometimes their spirit gets wounded and their spirit is wounded, and so they cannot trust and they cannot be happy and they cannot be handle the things that life is going to bring them. Why? Their spirit is so wounded, they're just messed up. But what I want to say, the good thing is God puts his spirit upon us, and God can bind up, and wounded spirits and wounded hearts can be fixed. But sometimes these things inside of us get wounded. Sometimes we get wounded. Sometimes we get broken. Sometimes it's not our spirit or it's not our heart. Sometimes our life gets broken. Sometimes we get a broken life. Well, it's pretty easy to see why, but let's turn to the book of Job. Job's life got broken. That's a broken life, by the way, in the middle of his troubles. I mean, and sometimes, you ever seen a life get destroyed? Maybe by their own choices, by circumstance or whatever, and all of a sudden life's just destroyed. Now I want to say, though lives can be broken, God can rebuild the pieces. Amen. But lives can be broken. You may have had a point in your life where you thought your life was broken and you thought, oh man, I'm just never going to have a good life. It's going to be terrible the rest of my life. You thought that, but you're not there, are you? See, a life can be broken also. I'm not saying permanently because God heals the broken things. And the whole message about healing broken things, I want to say your heart can be broken, your spirit can be broken, and your whole life can be broken. You can come to a point where you're saying, my life's broken. It's fallen to pieces, it's ruined. And you are at that situation. Doesn't mean you're always there, but that happens. Job chapter 16. And what do you think Job was thinking? You can't tell Job that his life wasn't broken. His family's dead. His wife said, curse God and die. He's sore head to toe. And his friends are saying, it's because of your sin? That's a broken life. His life is broken. Job chapter 16. Sorry if I said something else. Verse 12. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. That's a target, by the way. His archers can pass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach and runneth upon me like a giant. Sounds like he's broken. His life is broken. And by the way, there are broken lives out there. There are broken lives. You see him from the drugs or the abuse or the prostitution or whatever. You say their life, they're broken people. Their lives are disasters. They are maybe living off the government and got a roof off their head, but their life's broken. They're in a mess, and they need help. But you know, God's in the business of fixing broken lives. Book of Psalm chapter 38 is showing you broken lives. Psalm 38. Sometimes lives get broken. And verse 8, I am feeble, this is Psalm 38:8, and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness in my heart. I'm feeble and broken. I'm just done. I think it's the way we would say it. Sometimes God breaks you and breaks the foundations of your life because they're bad foundations. Let me take you to Ezekiel. One verse there. Ezekiel chapter 30. Sometimes the foundations of your life get broken down. Ezekiel chapter 30. And it says, verse 4, and the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia when the slain shall fall in Egypt. And they shall take away your multitude, and your foundations shall be broken down. That's when Egypt's going to be destroyed. Her foundations shall be broken down. Sometimes God lets your foundations break up. I remember Dave telling me his testimony many years ago about how that God had to destroy his empire of his life down to the ground before he could really get saved. And sometimes you got wrong foundations, and sometimes you're trusting in the wrong things, and sometimes you've got things in your life that are your sacred cows, and they're the most important things, and the foundations of your life which aren't on the Lord. And sometimes to reach you and help you, your foundations get destroyed. Amen. And that's part of what God does, so you can build a new foundation. Sometimes your life is broken because you're completely overwhelmed. Psalm 31. Sometimes you get overwhelmed, and your life is so overwhelmed. So many things are happening. You are just broken because of the overwhelming of it all. And there'll be times in your life where it's like, hey, can anybody else just go ahead and pile on? Because it's all coming at once, and I already can't handle it. So let's just get all my problems in my entire life over right now. And because I can't handle it anymore, and I'm already overwhelmed, let's just do it. And you get overwhelmed. You don't laugh like I do at everything, because I'm weird. You get overwhelmed. Too many things coming at you. And Psalm 31. And yes, I think strangely and laugh at everything. And that keeps me sane. Verse 9, it says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly. My life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine infirmity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances, and all they that deceive me without fled from me. It's pretty bad. I am forgotten, and as a dead man out of mind, I am like a broken vessel. I'm like a cup that's shattered. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. You see how he's broken. His life is broken. He's just overwhelmed. Every direction, he's shattered. And he has that kind of stuff happens sometimes. Sometimes it's the Lord doing it to you. Sometimes God breaks your life because you were never going to pay attention to him and never live your life for anything important. And you know what? I want to say this. If God has to mess up your life to make you blessed and rich and happy for trillions upon trillions of eons, then that's a good thing, not a mean thing. Sometimes God does it. Let's go back to Ezekiel again. I should have kept you there. Ezekiel again, a couple books forward there. Sometimes God breaks us. Ezekiel chapter 20. And verse 35, I will bring you into the wilderness of a people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I plead with the fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so I plead with you, saith the Lord, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge you from among the rebels, and from them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, go serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken to me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them, serve me. Let's see, verse 30. I missed my verse here. 35, 37. Nope. And it's not there. Sometimes God does these things to you because he's bringing you down. It is God working. Let me say this. If God is working and you fight long enough, God is wanting to heal you. But if you fight against God enough, you will be broken and not fixable. Right. Let me take it a couple of Proverbs about this. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. So God may break you and God may bring you down. God may destroy your foundation. Sometimes bad things happen to you because God is breaking you, and so he can use you. But sometimes you won't listen, and it goes on long enough. Eventually, you break and can't be fixed. Proverbs 6 and verse 15. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Proverbs chapter 29. In verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What's the difference? God wants to heal the broken life. God wants to heal the broken heart. God wants to heal the broken spirit, and he can and he does. But there's some people who will be broken without remedy. You know, some things you can super glue back together, and some things you try and try and try, and they just won't go back together ever. Well, the difference is found in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. God takes Jeremiah and says, go watch the potter with the potter's wheel spinning in a circle and the potter forming a vessel, a vase or a cup, and he's forming it. And all of a sudden, I've done this in ceramics class, it's spinning around in circles and you're forming it into a shape, and all of a sudden it gets messed up and it just twists and flies off. And he watches the man do that. And it says, verse 3, God sent him down there, and then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought his work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. Another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I do unto you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. God said, hey, I've tried to form you, and you flopped. You messed up. But you know what? You're clay. I can pick you back up. You're in Israel, you're under judgment, and you're scattered. But can I remake you like the potter? He can heal the broken pot because it's still clay. But if you look at another example of God talking about Israel in chapter 19, in verse 11, he said, and saying to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break, let me take to verse 10. Then shall you break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. You're supposed to take a bottle and shatter it. Then say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people of this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel, that cannot be made whole. It cannot be made whole again. They shall bury them in Tophet until there be no place to bury. What's the difference? One's hard and one's still clay. And you may be broken, but if you're not hardened, he that hardeneth his neck shall be destroyed without remedy. But as long as you're clay, God can remake clay. You ever mess with clay? You can mess with Play-Doh and get the same thing. Just fix it. It gets a crack and it breaks apart. Put it back together. Listen, God has that ability to heal us and to heal our hearts and heal our lives. If God is working and you resist, though, and you're hardened, you come to a point where God says, I can't fix you anymore. You're destroyed. There's no remedy for it. Don't ever get to that point. You might get marred. You might have brokenness. You might get broken life. But do not become a hardened, stiff-necked, fighting against God person, because God wants to heal you and do that. Three things I want to say. Number one, don't feel alone. Brokenness and heartache and a broken heart and wounds happen to everybody. Let's look at Psalm 69. I'm not sure if you read this one or not, but it's talking about a broken heart. Maybe something wrong with me. I'm so sad. Nothing bad happens to these other people. They always seem happy. They're putting on a show. They have a broken heart sometimes. They have a broken heart sometimes. Psalm 69 and verse 17. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble, and hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproaches, and my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all about me. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. Okay, you say, man, that guy's sad. Understand, that verse, the next three verses, are messianic verses. That's Jesus with his heart broken. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. I look for someone to take pity, but there are none for my comforters. I found none. They gave me gall for meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Sound familiar? Hey, Jesus had a broken heart. Must be not sin. See, you're not alone. You're not alone. It happens to everybody. Everybody gets wounded. You know what's strange is sometimes you have no idea what wounds somebody, and it's strange what wounds you. Are you like me? There's like big, gigantic things, and nothing bothers you, and all of a sudden, one little comment by one person, you're just like, huh? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, good. A few of you do. The rest of you are like, no, nothing bothers me. And it's strange, and you got to be careful not to be the one who causes the wounds. Who causes the wounds. See, it's part of life. You get a wounded heart, you get a wounded spirit, but it's not the end. You go to the Lord. You go to God and he helps heal your wounds. We read the verses earlier where he said, I'm wounded and my bones are drying up, but then he said, but our eyes are on thee, Lord. Don't feel bad. Don't feel anything. It's nothing wrong with you. It's just part of the human condition. In heaven, you won't get broken anymore. In heaven, you won't get wounded anymore. Listen, at your job, half the customers you deal with will try to wound you. It's just part of the deal. There's bosses, there's friends, there's neighbors. Number two. And by the way, there's so many hard people out there that have become so bitter and hardened that they don't care anymore what anybody says. So they don't care how they hurt anybody else because they've hardened themselves. Number two. Brokenness often brings help from the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 34. Brokenness often brings help. Often brings help from the Lord, and it brings awesome help. Brokenness often brings help from the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Listen, it says God is near those who have a broken heart. I found in my life that though man may have given me a broken heart, God comes nearby That's what it says. He's nigh, near unto them that are broken heart. And God begins to heal my heart. It often brings God's help. Psalm 51. Verse 8, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Sometimes God breaks us. But verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Let me tell you, when you have disappointed God, when you have done the wrong thing, God says, I want to see a broken heart. I think we don't have enough sorrow and enough repentance of our sin. I think we way too casually just, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Do you ever get a broken heart because of your sin and what it did to the Lord and how good God's been to you? He says, you know what? This repentance, of course, Psalm 51, the repentance chapter, he says, I will not despise a broken and contrite heart and spirit. I will come and bless you and forgive you and be near to you. And that happens. Psalm 147 also often brings God's help. Psalm 147. Beautiful verses. Verse 1, praise the Lord, for it is a good thing to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praises comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Amen? Isn't that a beautiful verse? He healeth up the broken in heart. You'll need healed in a minute if you don't. He healeth a broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. That's what God does. God is a healer. Amen. God comes and heals hearts. He heals brokenness. He heals wounds. That's what God does. It often brings the presence of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing, especially if it causes you to look to Him. Look at Psalm 30. Psalm 30. And verse 12, I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many, fearers on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence, and from the pride of men, thou shalt keep them secretly from the pavilion, in the pavilion, from the strife of the tongue. In other words, he's saying, God is going to help me. It is the Lord who's going to, I'm drawing closer to God. Lord, I need you. My heart is broken. There's no one else out there. And boy, God helps you. It brings his presence. It causes you to look at him. Number three, be in the business of healing the broken. We'll read Jesus as he quoted that verse in Isaiah 61:1. And he was the springboard for what he was going to do for his years of ministry. And Luke chapter 4. It became the springboard of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Listen, Jesus said, I'm here, the Spirit of God is upon me to heal people. And that's what we're here for. To fix broken hearts. Ye that are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. Bear ye one another's and so fulfill the law of Christ. Weep with those who weep. Mourn with those who mourn. Comfort the feeble-minded. The Bible is full of things and commands of us to take and help other people. Help each other. Listen, feed the hungry. Help the brokenhearted. Wrap your arms around somebody and hug them and tell them you love them. Tell them God loves them. Take the gospel to them. Listen, the gospel heals the sinful, wicked people of the world. They need saved. They need the God of the universe to be inside of them. I was reading a book to my kids, and it's a library book. We get a lot of books, and we read a lot. And I got, this is just one of the books we got when I first came to this land. And we got this book, but a bad thing happened. I was reading through it, and somewhere along the way, one of these pages got ripped. Why it's the library books to get ripped? Because, you know, they overcharge you for the book when you rip it. And so they were reading the book, and I was reading it to Ron and Becca this week. And I was sitting there, and there was this page, and it was ripped from the top about two-thirds of the way down to the bottom of the book. And I said, Beck, go get me some tape. And somewhere here, I did such a good job that I can't find my page. It's in here. There it is right there. Right through the cow's leg. Ripped. From here to here. I bought a pig. I called my pig too big. I bought a cow. No, I called my cow no milk cow. I called my shack break my back. I called my horse, I'm the boss. I called my plow, I don't know how. And I called my farm muscle in my arm. And that beautiful page of poetry was ripped. You know what I did? Took a piece. And by the way, there's an art to taping right. You know, you ever see somebody who doesn't know how to tape and there's spaces and there's white, you can see the line. No way. I'm professional here. And I take, and you don't use one piece of tape either. Can't use one, but you got to use several pieces of tape. Every parent knows these things. And I went and I taped this thing. And you know what? You can't even see that there, can you? Matter of fact, it was ripped on both sides. And you're not smart enough to understand that. But we fixed it. And we're going to take it to the library very quietly and hope that they don't notice. But it's kind of fun to fix something right and it looks good. You ever glue something together and you say, I can't tell? You ever try to glue something else together and you say, where's the garbage? Listen, I'm going to say this. You and I should be in the business of healing broken things. The Spirit of God is upon us to do that. We should be out there healing people, fixing people, changing lives, finding broken hearts, finding wounded people. And let me tell you, they're everywhere. They put on a good act. They smile. They act like they're great. They act like they're doing fine. But their heart is broken. And they're empty and they need the Lord. And their heart is hurting inside. And they've been wounded by people. And they're going to lash out at you many times because that's all they know is lashing out at you. And you're going to have to be the person who loves them. And love covers a multitude of sin. And you're so kind. And you're so loving that all of a sudden, one day they start to melt. And you give them Christ, and they get to God, and God heals their heart. You know, we should be in the business of healing the broken. You know, if you've been broken, you know what? You know how bad it is. The Lord is mad at non-fixers. Let me take you one more verse, Ezekiel 34. When God has a job for someone to fix somebody and heal somebody, Ezekiel 34, when God has that job for somebody and the Lord wants to do that, use you to do that and you don't do it, God gets very upset. God had these people called shepherds. They were called pastors. And they were supposed to be healing Israel. And in Ezekiel 34, in verse 2, it says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. He's talking about Israel as people. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled against them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field, and they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, shepherds, hear ye word of the Lord. And he continues on, you're in trouble. As I live, because they're a prey, you're going to become prey. And you're going to be punished. Why? Because I sent you to heal them, to protect them, and to be good to them. God's going to be very mad at them. Listen, the Spirit of God is upon us because there's broken hearts, broken lives, and broken spirits. Let's go out there and love them and encourage them and have kind words and tell them about God and find verses of healing and comfort them that we're comforted with and go out there and heal some lives because there's some broken lives. Amen? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to teach about healing the broken. Thank you, you're a God who can heal. Thank you, you're a God who can take the clay and make something great out of it again. May we take up your mantle and take the Spirit of God with us and go heal people. And Lord, may we go to you to get healed. Lord, many times there's nobody who can do anything for me, but I just got alone with you and just spent some time with you over a few days, just talking to you about it and sharing the burden. And Lord, I can't believe how I just walked away over time. My heart was healed and I was okay and I was ready to go and refreshed. Because just being with you, you're the healer. You're the balm of Gilead. You're the great physician. And I pray that we would get ourselves fixed and healed. And then I pray we'd go and help others get healed and fixed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well...